The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 33, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 4th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 18, Text Number 33. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yasmin sankhye avishesha nama.
Yasmin sankhye avishesha nama.
Rupa kritau kavibhikalpiteyam.
Rupa kritau kavibhikalpiteyam.
Sankhyayaya tatra vishapaniyate.
Sankhyayaya tatra vishapaniyate.
Tasmai nama sankhya darshanaya te yati.
Tasmai nama sankhya darshanaya te
yati. Yasmin sankhye avishesha nama.
Yasmin sankhye avishesha nama.
Rupa kritau kavibhikalpiteyam. Sankhyayaya tatra dravaniyate.
Sankhyayaya tatra dravaniyate.
Tasmai nama sankhya darshanaya te iti.
Tasmai nama sankhya darshanaya te iti.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist, yet You Yourself and Your incarnation, as the learned scholar Kapila Dev, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from You. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of Your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Purport. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted, rather is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation, until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva phaliyate, is perpetually going on in nature, yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, maya dakshena prakriti, suyate satcharacharam hetunani nukunteya jagadvipari varatate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state, and finally it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tandrita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So these scientists have been, and philosophers have been doing this for millions of years. It's not some new thing. These speculative philosophers and scientists. Why are they so crazy like that? Why they don't want to take the authoritative version of the Vedic wisdom? It'd be so much easier. It's like trying to reinvent the wheel. The wheel is already there. Why not utilize the invention? Think, no, we don't want to use the wheel. We want to come up with something new and better than the wheel. This is not very intelligent. If something good is already there, why not take it? Why go to all the trouble to say, no, I have to start something from scratch? It's the same old Dr. Frog philosophy, you know. He puffed himself up bigger, 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 and boom, finished. What these Dr. Frogs accomplish? They get some big PhD, Dr. Frog, Nobel Laureate. They become famous. Dr. Stephen Hawking. They become big, big famous celebrity in the media. And then when they leave their body, everything is finished. Where they go, nobody knows. In all their speculative knowledge, it will be replaced with somebody else's speculative knowledge. Some other speculator will come along and his philosophy will become the popular philosophy. You see, what's going on here is egotism. That's what's actually going on. That's why they're doing it. They think they can be happy by becoming a big, great, famous name. But they don't realize that if you want to be famous, then become a devotee. That's the greatest fame. If you become a pure devotee of Krishna, your fame is spread all over the three worlds. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. And the fame of the Vaishnavas, that is eternal fame. We are still celebrating the name of Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj. These great Mahajans, we are still glorifying them. They didn't think, I have to advance my own knowledge to become a great famous person. The greatest, most famous person is that person who presents the teachings of Krishna. In other words, if you want recognition, and that's what fame means, they're after recognition. There's no greater recognition than being recognized by Krishna. What does it take to be recognized by Krishna? Simply sincerity, that's all. Just like one time one of our sannyasis, big ISKCON sannyasi, he was there in Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles. And he's thinking, I'm a big sannyasi. But Prabhupada wasn't even noticing him. He's like he wasn't even there in the room. But there was some simple, humble brahmacharini. She was making the flower arrangements on Prabhupada's day. She was simply in the humble mood of service, that's all. And Prabhupada is very, he's recognizing how nicely she was serving. You see. He was appreciating how much sincerity she is making these flower arrangements. You see. The big traveling preacher, sannyasi, Prabhupada wasn't even seeing him at all. He was just seeing this humble brahmacharini, how nicely she was making the flower arrangement. So you don't need a big name. You don't have to be a guru, a GBC, a sannyasi, a this or that. No big name is required. Simply become a simple, humble servant of the Lord. Try to do some very nice service to please Krishna. Whether you're cooking an offering, making a flower arrangement, sweeping the floor, cleaning the bathroom, whatever you do, Shintai Gora Chandra Ki Jai, Shishila Radamana Ki Jai. Whatever you're doing, try to do it first class for Krishna. And then Krishna will recognize you. And when you're recognized by Krishna, you're automatically the most famous person. You see? Krishna has recognized. You see? So somehow we want to do some service that Krishna will recognize. You see? That yes, this is my devotee. So what is the secret how to get Krishna's recognition? That we have explained before. We have to beg the mercy of Radharani. My dear mother Radharani, I'm wanting Krishna to recognize me in my service. But he is not seeing me. So you kindly put in a good word with Krishna. Tell him about me. And in this way, Radharani, she will recommend, oh, my dear Krishna, there, just see this devotee here, he is better than me, Lord Krishna. So just imagine when Krishna hears from Radharani, oh, there is a devotee better than Radharani. This Prabhupada explained to us in London on the occasion of Radhastami. So we can somehow become recognized by Radharani. But what if Radharani is not recognizing? Well, the spiritual master, he is the representative of Radharani. We can be recognized by the spiritual master. And by his mercy, Radharani will recognize. And then Krishna will recognize. So somehow, if we can please the spiritual master, this is the instruction given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadahan bhagavat prasado Yasya prasadanagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one makes spiritual advancement. Without his grace, you're nowhere. So that's a very important thing, that one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and please him by carrying out his instructions with love. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures, as confirmed by the great acharyas. So if we follow this pathway, bhakti marg, then we will achieve actual knowledge. Gyanena tu tad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham madicham vajganam prakashayati tatpadam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 16. When one is enlightened with this knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge lights up everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So when one actually becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, he becomes enlightened with that knowledge which illuminates everything. And then Krishna states in chapter 4, text number 38, Nahi gyanena sadrisham yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham madichna bhajganam prakashayati tatpadam. Nahi gyanena sadrisham yesham nashitam atmanaha. Is that the verse?
Fourth.
You have the English edition here. Nahi gyanena sadrisham yesham nashitam atmanaha.
438.
Let's see the English. Nahi gyanena sadrisham. Oh yeah, pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayang yoga sangsyada kalinatmani vindati. Text 38. Krishna is saying, in this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time.
Krishna
brandus mes esizmo vaisius, ir kas tobulai atliks pasiaukojimo tarnybą, tas atėjus laikui iš šio žinojimo patirs vidinį džiaugsmą.
So the point is, we don't have to follow the pathway of these speculative philosophers trying to get some knowledge. That's the point. If we can just follow the pathway of the great Vaishnavas, then we will have an awakening of transcendental knowledge within our hearts. And when that bhakti, that mood of bhakti becomes mature, then simply the knowledge itself will become very enlivening. To see everything that's happening to you 24 hours a day through the eyes of knowledge. It doesn't matter what's happening externally. It can be good, bad, beautiful or ugly. One who has become advanced in Krishna consciousness will relish his or her vision of reality. Seeing that Krishna is actually the benefactor, the well-wisher. In every circumstance. One of my students from China, he has just written me an email. He's bewildered to understand that why sometimes a devotee is in a traffic accident. If Krishna is the well-wisher, then why these devotees are in these suffering conditions? As long as we remain in conditioned consciousness, it's hard for us to understand these things. But actually, everything that happens to us is happening within the energy of Krishna. Either the material energy or the spiritual energy. In either case, it's for our benefit. The more we become spiritualized, the more we will experience things within the spiritual energy. And the more we remain in the enjoying mood, the more we will experience things through the medium of the material energy. It's the same experience externally, the same things happening externally. The experience is completely different. When a karmi dies, it's within the material energy. It's a horrible, frightening experience to die. But the devotee also died. But when he dies, it's within the spiritual energy. It's an enlivening, thrilling adventure. So, this externally it's the same, but internally it's completely different. So that same principle applies in every step. Everything that we experience 24 hours a day. Am I experiencing it in the spiritual energy or the material energy? Or how about a blend between the two? 50% spiritual, 50% material. Actually, for the struggling neophyte devotee, it's a blend. To the extent that he's Krishna conscious, he's experiencing things through the spiritual energy. And to the extent that he's still trying to be the enjoyer of this world, to that extent he's experiencing within the material energy. Spiritual energy means eternal knowledge and bliss. Material energy means temporality, ignorance, and misery. So, what do you want? Do you want temporality, ignorance, and misery? Or do you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss? If you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss, then you better become expert at kicking out the enjoying mood from your heart. Replace the enjoying mood with the serving mood. It's not easy in the beginning. Why? Because we've been the enjoyer, trying to be the enjoyer, our little Purusha game going on for millions and millions of lifetimes. In fact, I tried to be the Purusha 8,400,000 different ways. I tried to be the Purusha as a Brahmaji. I tried as an Indra. I tried as an Indra-gropa, a germ. I tried as an alligator. I tried as an orangutan. And a baboon. And a vulture. A buzzard. Those birds of prey. So, a falcon. In so many ways, it's a horse. Sabaka. Sminya. Verblut. Asiol. I tried in so many ways to be the enjoyer, you see. And every time I tried to be enjoyer, what did I get? I got the kicks of Maya.
You see?
Again and again, kicking, 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 kicking. So, human life means time to wake up, Prabhu. Time to wake up, Mataji, and realize that it's not fun to be kicked by Maya. It's time to get myself free from Maya's kicks. By taking, by myself becoming the kicker. Instead of being kicked, you become the kicker. Instead of Maya kicking you, you kick out Maya. Kick out the enjoying mood. Be in the mood of service. More service, more service, more service. 24 hours a day service. Prabhupada said all the devotee needs to be happy. He needs a place to lie down at night. A little prasad. And service, service, service. That's all a devotee needs to be happy. Nothing else is required. So in this way, we will take this path of bhakti as the great acharyas are showing us. Then we become 100% absorbed in the spiritual energy. And at every moment, we will experience our eternal nature as a spirit soul. We will relish the transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Our hearts will be overflowing with mercy. And just like I gave an initiation on Saturday to one disciple from Denmark. I gave him the name Madhavashraya. This name, Madhavashraya, it has dual meaning. One meaning is one who takes shelter of Madhava, the Supreme Lord. That's one meaning. The other meaning, one who gives the shelter of Madhava. So the point is, the more that we take shelter of Madhava or Krishna, the more we become empowered to give the shelter of Madhava or Krishna. So this is the most glorious life. If we can 100% take shelter of Madhava, Madhavashraya, then we can give the shelter of Madhava to the whole world. And that is our mission. We want to give the whole world the shelter of Madhava. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Tiesiog, mat, kada sukaupėm labai daug žinių iš Bhagavatam ir tiesiog gyvenime kažkokia tai situacija ir bandai per tas žinias. Situacija ir galvoju, ką aš žinau ir kaip aš turiu pasielgti. Ir po to, na, bent aš pati pradedu jos, kad aš nebejaučiu gyvenimo, aš nebejaučiu situacijos. Ta, kasme, ir jeigu dvi tokios sukrenta į vieną vietą, ir viena pagal žinias, ir kita pagal, iš vis nebežinia, kaip pasirinkti. Nu, vat, ką apie tokį, o kiti žmonės taip jaučiu, kad jie, nu, gyvena, jaučia tiesiog tą gyvenimą. Nu, taip pasirink, taip, nu, vat, kaip apie tuos pajūtimą gyvenimą.
I have so much theoretical knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I get some situation, I start to think how I should react in this situation, and I feel that I'm not living, I'm just in mental platform.
Feel that you're not what?
That not living natural life.
Not living.
Yes.
This is why Guru is required. Because the spiritual master will teach you, he will mold you in such a way that not only do you have the theoretical knowledge of Bhagavatam, but you become a living Bhagavatam. This is why Rupa Goswami says the three essential items are to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, to get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and to obey the orders of a bona fide spiritual master. Because then the Bhagavatam does not remain theoretical. The Bhagavatam becomes a living experience 24 hours a day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You will always be absorbed in Bhagavatam. When you take shelter, instructions and orders of Sri Guru. So qualify yourself now to do that. Next question.
Norėjau paklausti, o nu, aš skaičiau Bhagavad Gitoj, kad nu, visi talentai ateina iš viešpatės, iš Krišnos. Ir norėjau paklausti dėl tos tarnystės nuotaikos, kad atlikti kuo daugiau tarnybos, bet nu, jeigu neišeina tau atlikti tarnybos dėl vat, mokslų, bet nu, tau mokslai gerai sekasi, tai ką daryti, ar ne, atsiduoti daugiau mokslams ar tai tarnystė, tu prasme, ignoruoti ten minimaliai tam mokslam dėmesio skirti, kad tik tais ten praeit tuos visus reikalavimus minimalius, kaip pasielgti.
I have problem. My studies take a lot of time.
How much time? How many hours a day?
Day.
Now, how many hours? Tell me, give me the number of hours.
From 9 to 8, something like that.
What is the?
9 hours.
9 hours. Okay, well, the nine, that leaves, let's see, then you have 16 minus 9 would be, 24 minus 9 is what? That's you have 15 hours, right? 15 plus, yeah, you have 15 hours left.
11 hours.
11 hours. So that leaves you 24 minus 11, that would be then 13, yes? Yeah, you have 13 hours left.
Yes, but I need to do some, like, homework.
Plus homework I have to do at home.
Like, for example?
Paint a painting.
Paint
a composition.
At home also.
Okay. All right, so... How much sleep do you need?
I sleep from 10 till 5.
From 10 till 5?
Yes.
7 hours.
Yes.
Well, if you really, I would recommend trying to get by in 5 or 6 hours. That would give you 2 more hours for chanting. Prabhupada said that actually 6 hours is sufficient. Of course, you have to be enthusiastic, otherwise, you know, otherwise you'll fall asleep. But if you're enthusiastic, I want to become Krishna conscious, then you can give a, you can gradually reduce at least. Instead of sleeping 7 hours, sleep 6.5. And use that extra half hour to chant. And do that for a while until you become really energized by that half hour of chanting. And then you go, wow, I'm gonna get up a whole hour early now. I take an hour less, instead of a half an hour reducing my sleep, I reduce my sleep by a whole hour. Now I can chant for a whole hour. Wow. In this way, you just have to, it's like the old saying, once the salesman gets his foot in the door, then the sale is a done deal. I don't know if that translates. An aggressive salesman, when he comes to your door, you say, no, 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 I don't want it. Go away. But if he can stick his foot in the door, you see, so you can't shut the door. And gradually he's going to get in and he's going to sell you that set of encyclopedias. You see what I'm saying? So you have to be an aggressive salesman like that, you see. To sell yourself Krishna. You have to sell Krishna to yourself, you see. So just at least get your foot in the door, you know, for 15 minutes of chanting every day. 15 minutes. And then that'll turn into 15 minutes, turns into a half an hour, turns into 45 minutes. And that way you get your foot in the door and then wedge your way through and then you can finally do it. It's just like during World War II in the South Pacific. The Japanese, they had conquered so many islands, you see. And then the United States Marines, they came in to recapture the islands. So how did they do it? There was heavy defense forces on the islands. How could they do it? But they would just get a few feet on the beach, you see. And just push forward a few more feet. Or the whole thing, just like in Europe, when Hitler had taken over Europe, you know. He had the whole Europe. He had power, completely conquered Europe. So what to do? So the Allied forces, they stormed Normandy Beach and they fought 1 inch at a time, you see. Until they finally got enough space, they could start landing airplanes, you see. And then they could bring in the tanks and more troops. You see, the idea is you just get that foothold, that few square inches of territory away from Maya, and then you keep pushing from there. So now Hitler has conquered your heart, you see. The Hitler Maya has completely conquered your heart. But you have to be, I think, the Allied forces. You find that you storm the Normandy beach. Somehow get one japa mala in every day, one round every day. I'm going to squeeze it in somehow, just push my way in, one round, you see. And then once you get one round, okay, now two rounds. And this way you keep pushing back the Hitler's forces, you know, until finally you conquer all of Europe. So in this way you can do it. It seems impossible now. I got so much studying to do. I have to paint. I go to classes. I got to sleep. I got to eat. I know there's no way how will I ever do it. Hitler has completely conquered Europe. How can we ever get a foothold in Europe? No, you look for one weak place where you can get a foothold, and there you push forward, you see. Therefore, we recommend the weakest, Maya's weakest point is in the early morning before sunrise. Get up before sunrise and chant some japa mala. Maya is very weak at that time. She's an easy pushover during Brahma Muhurta. Brahma Muhurta is the period of time before the sunrise. Maya is very weak at that time. So even a neophyte devotee, you can knock Maya over at that time. So set that alarm clock. Get up before the sun and take some japa mala and chant. And you'll be amazed. You'll become empowered by Krishna. You'll be able to study in 6 hours instead of 9 hours and get all your homework done. You see what I'm saying? Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was an empowered devotee. He also studied mundane subject matter. But he was so expert, he would sit in the class, he did no homework at all. He would simply attend the lectures and make perfect grades, and that's all, just hearing the lectures, that's all he did. So, Krishna can empower you. You just have to be enthusiastic to become a pure devotee, that's all. Now, I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. If you have that mood, you'll become very successful very quickly. Any other questions? I'll go back there. That girl back there.
The question was like, he also want to make some service in temple, and he want to know where to put priority at, or in studying.
The first thing is you do some japa. You need to chant japa. That for your own spiritual advancement, you have to chant japa. First chant japa. And then do the service. If you do so much service but you never chant any rounds, then how are you going to make progress to back to Godhead? That japa is a very important thing. Your first service is become fixed up in chanting 16 rounds. That's your first service. And then along with that you should do as much service as you can at the temple. At least one, you come in once a week. On the weekend, you don't have any, somebody, you have a little free time on the weekend, so come on the weekend and do service. But you should become fixed up to chant 16 rounds every day. That's your first goal. Get fixed up to chant 16 rounds. Okay? All right, this Mataji here had a question.
Suprasti, kad mūsų atliekama tarnystė suteikia džiaugsmą Krišnai, o ne, ta prasme, kad atlikdami tarnystę mes tenkinam savo protą. Ta prasme, mes atliekam tarnystę ir, pavyzdžiui, mums tai teikia džiaugsmą. Ir kaip suprasti, ar mes iš tiesų patenkinam savo protą, ar mes patenkinam Krišną?
If by making service I am happy, how to know? I satisfied Krishna or this is only sense gratification? How to
actually know? You should become If you're doing service nicely, you'll be the most happy person, naturally. Well, her question then is, if she's happy, is that wrong?
No, how to be sure if Krishna is happy?
Yeah. If Guru is pleased, then Krishna is happy. That's again why a Guru is required. Prabhupada said, the Guru, he is dog of God. If you want to please the master, you must please his dog. So therefore you require a spiritual master. You can see, am I pleasing my spiritual master or not pleasing my spiritual master? So in this way, you can know if I'm pleasing my spiritual master, then I'm pleasing Krishna. So you must qualify yourself now to take diksha from a bona fide guru. So then you can know, I'm pleasing Krishna or I'm not pleasing Krishna. Okay, one more question.
What to do if I am tired to make service because I have no sleep at night?
Take some rest.
I can't sleep.
You can't sleep?
Because many thoughts in my mind.
Then read. Until you fall asleep. Read Prabhupada's books until you fall asleep. We'll squeeze one last question in here and that'll be it.
How to know if the spiritual master is pleased, especially if he has departed?
Especially if he's departed. If Guru is departed, how do I know if I pleased him or not? Well, take advantage of him while he's here. Learn how to please him while he's here, so you can know what pleases him and what displeases him. This is why we take diksha from a living Guru. So you can know by associating with your spiritual master, by inquiring from your spiritual master, what pleases him and what displeases him. And then even when he's physically gone, you still know, because you were trained by him, what pleases him and what doesn't. It's like I got very good idea when Prabhupada was here, what pleases him and what does not please him. So even in his physical absence, I am still feeling Prabhupada's presence. And I'm still knowing what pleases him and what displeases him. So take as much association with your spiritual master as possible. It is very intelligent that you came for this Vyas Puja celebration. Because the more you can associate, the better. That way you have better idea what pleases him and what displeases him. And for those who don't have that so much personal association, then you should inquire from those who did get personal association. So through them you can learn what pleases him and what displeases him. All right, our time is up. We have one more evening lecture. Tonight it will be in a public hall here. It's advertised. And now there's been a slight change to our schedule. There will be one more class on Monday morning, Bhagavatam class. Here. There'll be one more. Huh?
What time is the Sunday feast?
What time is the Sunday feast here?
Program starts at 3 o'clock.
And the lecture?
Lecture 3:15.
Okay, so
You think we can make it back in time?
Yeah,
we'll try to back in time for the Sunday feast lecture. We're forced to leave Russia a little early because we have to get to Riga in time from by Monday night. So to enable us to do that, we're going to come back a little early from Russia. So can we make it by 3 in the afternoon from Russia? We can give the morning class there and come straight.
If
we leave there by 10 o'clock, we can be here by 3, 5 hours, is that enough? Depends on the border crossing. Huh? We can try anyway.
Tomorrow morning it will be Shrimad Bhagavatam?
Tomorrow morning, no. We're going early, leaving for Russia early in the morning tomorrow morning. No class tomorrow morning, no. All right, so it'll be tonight, and then tonight's lecture, and then hopefully the Sunday feast lecture, and definitely the Monday morning Bhagavatam.
Okay.
So we thank you all very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Vandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Vishma Sankarshanda Sri Hari Maharaj ki jai.